I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our second of the Football Ramble World Cup specials in association with history. Of course, we've got five of these World Cup specials in total. We started way back in 1990 with Cameroon's incredible defeat of world champions Argentina. We'll be finishing with a look at the time a 23-year-old David Beckham was sent off for England against Argentina in 1998. This week, we've got Roberto Baggio's penalty miss in the 1994 World Cup final. Now, these five World Cup specials are brought to you by History, who, in celebration of the World Cup, are broadcasting 24/7 football documentaries for 2 weeks, starting on the 28th of May. You can watch History on Sky, Virgin, BT, or Talk Talk. There we are, gentlemen. Luke, Jim, and Peter here to talk about that sad time Roberto Baggio, an infamous moment in World Cup history. He skied his penalty to hand Brazil the World Cup trophy in the 1994 World Cup final.
I remember the feeling of Baggio missing.
Sinking feeling.
Baggio was one of those players that everybody loved, even if for some reason you didn't like the Italian team or whatever. He sort of seemed to transcend his own nationality, in a sense. He was just a global star that everybody really loved and seemed like one of the good guys. It's just, remember the bitter moment of it.
Where does his nickname sit in the great pantheon of nicknames?
It's right up there, isn't it? The divine ponytail.
Yeah.
I mean, it was less of a ponytail, more of a rat's tail, wasn't it? But it was still, it looked very kind of like foreign exchange student, where they'd come over and you'd be like, what, is that a thing over there?
But does everyone have them?
But he was so handsome.
You do one of mine.
So handsome and such a cultured footballer. You just let him get away with it because he's just so good.
And this is a different challenge for us this time around, because last time we talked about, obviously, Cameroon beating Argentina. It's also a great celebration for anyone who's not Argentinian. And you get right into it and you think this is a fantastic moment. But while we understand this moment is hugely important and a classic, iconic moment.
Yeah.
Not really a happy one for anyone other than Brazil. No. And they've had enough bloody happy ones, thank you very much.
This moment showed what a cruel game it can be.
Absolutely.
One of the world's finest players on the biggest stage making a very decisive error. And so, as you say, look, a very different feeling. The World Cup, of course, to give a bit of background, was held in the United States of America, the United States of America for the first time ever, despite the country not being into football as much as previous hosts of the World Cup finals. The US still boasts the highest average attendance, with nearly 69,000 spectators per game.
They've got some big stadiums, though, to be fair.
Well, and they filled them.
All
right.
Hello, Rose Bowl.
The final was contested between Italy and Brazil, two of the pre-tournament favourites. Now, Brazil got into their stride pretty quickly in the first round. They topped their group with 7 points. They beat the US in the second round after Leonardo was sent off for elbowing Tab Ramos.
That was a horrendous assault, befitting of one Benjamin Massing.
No, Massing wouldn't have done that.
No, he uses his feet only.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes boot, sometimes not.
And thigh. Bebeto got the goal, of course. He and Romario formed a very effective partnership up front on the pitch for Brazil. They put out the Dutch in the quarterfinals 3-2. In the semi, they beat Sweden 1-0. No one really doubted Brazil would go all the way, and few would bet against them.
Any love for Sweden and Bulgaria both being in the semi?
Oh, lovely stuff.
It is lovely stuff.
Yeah, but this isn't about them, sadly. Could have been, but it isn't, yeah.
They played their part.
Indeed. Now, Italy, on the other hand, had a very different approach to the final. They nearly messed it up on more than one occasion. They started their campaign with a 1-0 loss against the Republic of Ireland, thanks to that Ray Houghton goal.
And also, that was the game in which Paul McGrath delivered one of the best defensive performances I have ever seen. It was like the old famous newspaper headline, just adapted. 2/3 of the world is covered by water. The other third is covered by Paul McGrath.
He was incredible. Everything on his head. Everything. Every ball that went in, every kind of loose ball he was clearing.
It's like his head was a giant magnet. Yeah. And I know that wouldn't really make any sense because the football isn't made of metal.
No.
But maybe
a Hoover. Hoover head.
Someone put a metal core. Yeah, his head was like a giant Hoover. Yeah. And as soon as the ball came near his head, he put it on blow. Really hard.
Yeah.
Like it became a leaf blower.
Yeah, yeah. It did. It's
he sucked it in and then blew it away.
It's a little known fact about Paul McGrath. He goes into it in depth in his autobiography that his head, he was born actually with a half vacuum cleaner, half leaf blower head.
That's right.
And it's very, very.
And that game testifies to it.
Well, and to be serious, just for a moment. Going into that game, who would have thought that the defender we'd be talking about the most would be Paul McGrath? Because, of course, Franco Baresi, one of the great defenders of all time, ends up going off injured. Okay, and he makes a miraculous comeback in the final itself, which we'll come on to, which is ridiculous, by the way. Mm. But yet, people come away from that game talking about Paul McGrath because he was so good.
Paul McGrath, I think I've spoken about this before. This was my first World Cup. This is the World Cup that really got me into football properly. Like, and it was Roberto Baggio who got me into football. Mm-hmm. Like, to a lesser extent, the Ireland team as well, because I think they did have a great run and they seemed to really enjoy themselves. And Jack couldn't get the water to the boys.
Jack Charlton's secondment as a representative of the water board. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? I do.
But they beat a very much fancied Italy. Though.
Well, it was a great shot. Pagliuca just reaching. He never seemed like the tallest goalkeeper in the world.
He was off his line, massively.
As well. You don't see keepers do that very often unless it's a one-on-one situation. It wasn't a one-on-one situation, if I remember rightly. Yeah. And he managed to get. It was called a lob, but it was more of just a really good hit. Really, I don't know.
Would it be outrageous for me to suggest that Pagliuca, fantastic goalkeeper, of course. Is it outrageous for me to suggest that he was very lucky to start the final? Because he was sent off in the second game.
Well, absolutely. So Italy lose their first game. You can lose your first game and still go through.
And this is an Italian thing, isn't it? They are known for starting tournaments slowly and growing into
them. Absolutely.
And don't forget, it's a 24-team format. Mm-hmm. So Italy eventually finished third in their group, but they still qualify.
Right,
These days, he finished third, it's curtains.
That's right, yeah. So they then play Norway. So they've got tough but winnable games against Norway and Mexico. They'd still be the favourites going into those two. Against Norway, after 22 minutes, Pagliuca's sent off. And Italy is staring elimination in the face.
Yeah.
What does Arrigo Sacchi, the manager, do? He needs to bring on Marco Gianni in goal. He takes off Roberto Baggio. And I remember the co-commentator, who may have been Liam Brady, but I can't quite remember. Definitely the co-commentator just said, Sacchi is gambling his whole job here. And it was a huge gamble. Baggio had won FIFA World Player of the Year the previous year, and much was expected from this man. He had a great impact on the 1990 tournament for Italy. Scored a great goal, I think, against Czechoslovakia.
This is when he comes into my purview, because as a 9-year-old watching World Cup 90. Seeing that Roberto Baggio goal against Czechoslovakia, that captured my imagination almost like nothing else. Mm. That back in the day, that World Cup, as we've talked about before, the World Cup was so exotic. It wasn't regular to see these brilliant players all the time. He plays a 1-2 with the Prince, Giuseppe Giannini, who was Totti in Roma before Totti was around. Mm-hmm. Great, great player. And Baggio does the rest. And I still remember the commentary from the goal. If you watch it back now, and see the original commentary, or listen to the original commentary, it's not the commentary I remember. So I think what's happened is my parents must have VHS recorded the highlights or something. And the commentary I remember is, he says, just look at the way he glides from deep, shimmying past defenders, and the ice-cold finish, to be followed by the inevitable white-hot celebrations as Baggio Mania has swept Italy, right? And
see, I can vividly remember two other pieces of commentary.
Right, okay, so it's fair to say it's an iconic goal. But Baggio's tournament in 1990 was one of a player being introduced from the bench. He was a young player coming through. 94 was the one really where everyone was like, this guy is, as you say, one of the world's best.
Well, 93, he was voted FIFA player of the year. You know, so there he was, and he's taken off. In their hour of need, he has seemed to not be the man by the manager.
And just to cut in, again, very quickly, at the risk of boring everyone to death, it's interesting to me this, because Baggio plays in Serie A in a period of time where the manager is king. So you've got this this cult status around managers where players are used to interpret positions and roles that the manager dictates to them. Arrigo Sacchi comes in and wins back-to-back European Cups, and the thing to play is a 4-4-2. Now, for a player like Baggio, he was an instinctive player, a skillful player, a really tricky pick a pass, take on a player type operator.
Really.
Yeah, number 10. it doesn't immediately fit in with how football was played in Italy at that time, which is another part of the reason why I think that when you think of Baggio now, you think of him in an Italy shirt. Mm-hmm. You don't think, because he didn't really spend an awful amount of time or have some iconic legendary stint like a Totti or a De Rossi at Roma or a Del Piero at Juventus. Some of his best years are at Juventus.
He moved around.
But he played for Juve, Milan, Inter. And I think that's what unifies people as loving him as a really, really iconic player in Italy, because his best moments simply were in an Italian shirt.
Absolutely right. And that Italy side, the names roll off the tongue: Pagliuca, Costa Curta, Maldini, Baresi, Albertini, Dino Baggio, Roberto Baggio, Casiraghi, Signori, Zola as well, who's quite young at the time.
Do you think Dino Baggio would have liked to have been a relation?
I think Dino Baggio had a very good tournament himself, actually. And I think in that game, did he not score the goal against Norway?
He definitely got one,
Which was absolutely crucial. And they won the game. Then they drew 1-1 with Mexico. They squeezed into the second round as the fourth best and final third place team.
Every team in that group got 4 points. I think Italy go through in third on goals scored, I think.
Yeah. They just got through.
Incredible.
And no more. Into the second round, Italy faced a good Nigeria side who had some players themselves.
They captured the imagination, didn't they? Similar to Cameroon in 90.
Amanike and Amakachi.
Yeah.
That's right, scored some great goals in the first round. The dog-weeing celebration, Jim, you would have enjoyed that one.
I remember that.
Yeah. Nigeria, they went 1-0 up in the first half, and Italy struggled. Mm. And this is Italy side that says struggled past the first round, and people were thinking, surely against this very, very talented Nigeria side, this might be the end of them in this tournament. Zola's given a straight red card after he'd been on the field for, you know, sort of 10 minutes or so as a sub.
I can't remember if I mentioned this in the last one of these we did about Cameroon, but that decision on Zola for me is the worst. Probably the worst World Cup decision, disciplinary wise, I've ever seen.
De Jong?
I can sort of understand that though. I can't. With the De Jong thing, how Webber's coming from the blind side, I don't think he fully understands what's happened. Mm. Marcus, I think you might slightly disagree with me on this. The Zola tackle, where he gets sent off for sort of putting his body in the way of the defender, and fine, his foot comes in quite high, but not really in any dangerous way. It's impossible. It's one of those ones where it's impossible to imagine the referee's going to pull out a red card. Like, and you can tell because it decimates Zola.
It
breaks his heart right there in front of you. It's like when Ralph Wiggum has his heart broken by Lee Simpson. Right in front of your eyes. He just collapses to the ground.
I remember it being a real shock at the time.
Yeah. I think that moments before that, though, Zola is pushed off the ball or something and he feels like it's a foul and moans, then he gets back up and runs really determined.
And it looks like retribution.
It does, yeah. Right, okay, and I think didn't do... I think he does catch the player slightly, but I think the player made the most of it.
It was his World Cup debut as well, I think.
I think it was,
off the bench. How long did he last?
It's about 10 minutes or something. Yeah. not too good.
His career turned out okay.
Anyway, Italy, staring elimination in the face. They're down to 10 men. There's 2 minutes left. And then, gentlemen, what happens?
Romario scored.
He probably did another game somewhere.
Yeah, he probably claimed it.
Yeah, exactly. Roberto, in the words of the commentator, finally, Roberto Baggio delivers.
Finally?
Well, because
he's my hero.
Though, hadn't it? No, but in the group stages in general, he hadn't delivered. And there was so much pre-tournament hype about him.
Yeah.
And I remember, I imagine you were the same, Pete, because I know you love Baggio as much as I do, especially when I was that age. You know when you really are willing a player to do well?
Yeah.
You know, you've been talking them up in the playground as the player that's going to be the best player in the tournament. You feel like your reputation is riding on this guy. Yeah. And then he started delivering. It just opened up.
Exactly. And he got the second.
If you watch the slow motion, you can actually physically see the moment he puts the whole team on his back for the rest of the tournament.
But when he scores, the relief around that Italian side and the way Baggio celebrates is like, yes, I've arrived. That's my moment and I'm going to make the most of it.
We're
now
up and running.
Exactly. And he scores
He makes the penalty. He makes the penalty as
absolutely
well.
Right. Scores and 2-1 and they're in the next round. And we'll pick up that after this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the second of our World Cup specials in association with history, where we're looking back at the penalty miss by Roberto Maggio in the final of the 1994 World Cup in the US. Now, of course, Italy have now gone through against Nigeria. And this was really when his tournament erupted, I suppose. It was in the knockout phases. We see individual players light up tournaments like Maradona in 86, Scilacci and Lothar Matthäus in 90. Mm. And Baggio, along with Romario, became the man of this tournament. Romario for Brazil, Baggio for Italy. They were really the
totems, aren't they? They were kind of
absolutely right. And in Italy, then play Spain in the quarterfinals. Dino Baggio had a fine tournament himself. I think all the Baggios represented themselves very well in the 94 World Cup. He scored Spain equaliser. A good Spain side who really, really tested Italy and went toe-to-toe for them. Last minute, Baggio runs through, rounds the keeper, scores.
But he sort of roars the ball past the keeper and the keeper just goes, ow! Fiddlesticks. Yeah. And then he slams it home with such pace. The defender's actually right in front of the ball. He can't get his foot because he hits it so hard, but so tight. It's such a tight angle. Like the defender just can't get his foot on it. And it's like it's agonizing for the Spanish defender.
It really is.
That was a real sort of key of his game, wasn't it? It was that precision. Everything had this sort of slick elegance to it. And if there was a very tiny narrow corridor that he'd had to get the ball through, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah,
he's another one of those kind of like players that, you know, historically will be compared to Lionel Messi and sort of got obviously didn't have such a stellar career, but he was still up there, wasn't he? Similar drop of the shoulder, similar kind of rangy football.
And it's a testament to how, relatively speaking, of course, how compared to some other players, how well he's regarded and how well he was treated in the aftermath of this penalty miss, which we'll come on to, because I think people realised, certainly around this point and going into the semi, that this is the guy who, if they're going to get anywhere in this tournament, it's going to be down to him.
The team just weren't firing, were they?
Yeah, and they can't really hold a grudge because there was no way they'd be anywhere near the final without Baggio. That's the fact of the matter.
The thing is, and I understand what you're saying, Pete, when a lot of those kind of really talented, mercurial type, skillful players are compared to each other. But Baggio had his moments that we remember. He had big moments in big games. Sadly, the ultimate one is coming. But the lead up to that final, you know, so many. And then they were in the semi-finals. You know, the notorious slow starters, as you say, Jim, they were well in their groove now, thanks to Baggio. He dragged them through against Nigeria, got the goal against Spain. And then what happens? Two first half goals against Bulgaria settle the tie. They go through 2-1. I mean, he was just sensational. Mm.
The thing in that game as well that's often forgotten about is he actually pulled a hamstring, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think he played the final with a painkilling injection.
Right.
He was under a lot of pain in the final.
And by this point, I think the other thing that plays into that and the way that the final was a bit of a damp squib and there's probably a number of reasons for that is that this is the first tournament that I can really think of where the amount of travelling involved for the teams is actually quite extraordinary. I mean, Italy are playing the majority of their games in Foxborough, home of the New England Patriots now, up in Massachusetts. They played the semi, I think, in New Jersey, which isn't too far away. But the final, of course, is in California.
That's right.
The final is played in Pasadena, California, in July, I think 12:30 p.m. local time.
It was definitely in the afternoon.
Yeah, and a lot's. I mean, talk about Jack Charlton and the Irish players. The Irish players, they are not used to. They weren't used to this type of temp, and the travelling involved, and it's a bit of a shame because it produced a fairly average final. I think we can all agree.
Yeah,
and it also produced a group of players who, you know, Italy are without for the final. They're without Baresi. Baresi comes back for the final on one leg. I mean, he's pulled a meniscus in his knee in the first game, yet he makes it back for the final, which is absolutely ridiculous. They're without Tassotti and Costa Curta. Baggio's got this injury he's carrying. And all this travel's got to play a part in that. Yeah. And the decision to play the game so early on. So the reason we get to penalties in the first place is because this game is so tepid, because there's no other way.
Well, Italy did defend well. I mean, Brazil were the only side that were really going to go on and win it.
Yeah, but if you watch that final again, and compare it to, maybe it's not that helpful to compare it to the great finals, but if you were to do that, you'd be like, the pace this game is being played at is very, very dull.
Well, it remains the only final in World Cup history not to have a goal in it. It was the first one to go to penalties, of course, and subsequently we have had another final set on penalties. You're right, it wasn't a great game, and it was a shame that Baggio was injured, because this was possibly the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world, doing it on the biggest stage. and everyone was loving it. And I think even if Baggio had been walking around on one leg and had not been played, people would have been like, oh, come on, at least start him.
Yeah,
Bring him on for 10 minutes. Everyone loved the guy. He was just such a phenomenal player. But the truth is, though, going back to what we were saying about the defensive stuff, Brazil were more likely to score and had a couple of decent opportunities to do so. But it went to penalties. And the aforementioned Franco Baresi first took for Italy. And he hit the ball over the bar.
He basically took exactly the same penalty as Baggio.
Well, that's right. I mean, it was his last match for the Azzurri. And Barry Davis summed it up well by saying, what a sad moment for a great player.
Oh, absolutely.
It was. And it was a shame to see Baresi kind of drop to his knees and so on. And there were a couple more misses in the shootout. I think Marcio Santos missed for Italy and then Massaro... for Brazil, then Marcio Santos missed for
Who came closest to scoring in the semi, in the final itself?
Though, well, Romario had a chance.
He missed a sitter. So yeah. I think Bebeto might have missed one as well.
It was Brazil's to win.
There
really
was a chance in the first half where Pagliuca lets it go through his fingers and it bounces along and hits the post.
Yes. I think that was later on. I think that might have been in extra time. It was certainly late.
And Pagliuca gets the ball, has a smile, and kisses the post.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Before he kicks the ball out. It's a really nice moment.
That's why I love this tournament.
Great presence of mind.
I know it's not everybody's favourite tournament, but for me, it had all the kind of like... these cool, good-looking dudes doing cool stuff. It was and it was set in America.
Yep.
And back then, when you were a kid, everything about America is cool.
It's exciting,
the first indoor match at the finals. So
but also, you had you had Hadji and you had Stoichkov. These big characters.
But like, these were players who came out of nowhere. Even though Stoichkov played for Barcelona.
Stoichkov pipped Baggio to the World Player in '94, I think.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
And Baggio's goal against Bulgaria, that kind of roll and kind of smash it kind of curling it into the corner. Mm-hmm. So, like, in my mind, I for this show, I didn't go back and watch it, but every member of the Bulgarian team has male pattern baldness.
Yep.
And he's just, and this sexy, hairy man is just defeating male pattern baldness men. He's going, yes, hair wins.
Yeah. It's almost like a taunt.
Yeah. I know. Well, it was Brazil became the first nation to win the World Cup for a fourth time. But that was because in the shootout, it all went down to Roberto Baggio needing to score to keep Italy alive. He'd kept them alive a couple of times previously in that tournament.
And what did the commentator say as he steps up? Roberto Baggio, the saviour of Italy throughout this tournament.
That's right. And he blazes it over the bar.
Hell of a run-up. A long old run-up.
But it was so strange to see a player. I think that for me was the first time when you see a player who you think's invincible, this guy's an absolute world beater. Do something like that and you go, oh, he is just a man.
And it's a moment, isn't it? Sorry, just after he misses, he's a very calm.
Yeah,
he just stands there and hits it in. He doesn't punch
Buddhist,
the floor or anything.
Buddhist,
well, quite, yeah.
But why? And this is a question a mere mortal like me would ask someone of Baggio. Why don't you just take the same penalty you took against Nigeria, where you smash it in off the post? Unsavable penalty. You've got the technique to do that. You've proven yourself to be, probably the best player in a tournament. Why don't you just do that?
He was definitely going top of the middle, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was trying to smash it, absolutely smash it, and give the keeper no chance anyway, I think. Because the keeper's always going to, in a World Cup final, the keeper's always going to commit to one side or the other, I think. And he just thought, well, probably the safest thing, I know I can do this, the safest thing is me smash it into the top.
I mean, had he have scored, Brazil would have needed to just score to win the game.
Yeah.
But of course, that may or may not have happened. We'll never know. We don't need to know because he missed. Yeah, that was the such a sad thing.
It's a shocking moment. And history on the Thursday, the 31st of May at 9 p.m. have a documentary worth watching. All these documentaries they're showing are they turn back the clock to relive memorable moments from football history, like revisiting key clashes and the biggest personalities and all that kind of stuff. Thursday, 31st of May at 9 p.m. is 7 goals that shocked the world, which is worth checking out as well. Mm. The question I had for you, Marcus, and you, Jim, and you, Pete, is that if Baggio scores that penalty and Italy go on to win the tournament, are we sat here talking about Baggio the same way we talk about Maradona in 86?
Mm.
One of the greatest players of all time, because he single-handed, I don't know if I necessarily agree with it in Maradona in 86, but it's certainly talked about.
But I think you're close.
Single-handedly taking a team to win a World Cup.
And penalty shootouts unprecedented in the final anyway. It didn't happen.
But do you think he would be talked about in such glowing terms?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because he really did drag him through a lot, especially in that game against Nigeria and in Bulgaria. I mean, Baggio finishes the tournament on 5 goals, one behind Stoichkov and Oleg Salenko. The golden ball goes to Romario. Baggio gets the silver ball. Mm. It was very much he was second.
Yeah.
And it's so gutting because, as you, it's a fair comment, Luke, how do you finish first? Everyone would have said that was the Roberto Baggio World Cup.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this is a player, and the reason I think that's even more important based on what we said earlier and what we know about the player is that this is a player whose career, more than any other Italian footballer, is defined by his performances in an Italy shirt. Italy's a young nation, been a divided nation for a long time until it was unified relatively recently compared to England or whatever.
Mm. Just the other week.
Yeah, Baggio's best moments are playing for Italy. He doesn't stay at any club long. Finally wins the UEFA Cup with Juventus and Serie A with Milan and Juventus in 2 years running. Two separate clubs. But he is a player who flourishes the best because we talked about earlier with tactics and the era of football he played in Italy, where he is almost a big fish in a small pond. That's not meant as a criticism. You know, he goes to Bologna in 1997 as a fantastic time there and gets his... I'm pretty sure he even gets recalled for the national team then.
98, he was back there.
Because he has such a great season for Bologna. He goes, but after that, he gets a move from Bologna at the age of, I think, about 31 to Inter.
Yeah.
So he's then played for Juventus, Milan and Inter. Mm. But he never stays at these teams too long. You know, 5 years at Juve, 2 years at Milan, 2 years at Inter. So Italy is the place he is defined by, which is also quite curious given that he only actually got 56 caps, which is a lot, but it's not 100.
From where his status.
Absolutely.
Well, he said the penalty miss affected him for years and said it was easily the worst moment of his career, of his incredible career, which is more than understandable. We did see him at the World Cup again in 98 and he played in Italy's opener against Chile and scored a penalty and he described scoring that one as liberating, which I think when he stepped up to take it, I remember feeling nervous and I'm thinking, oh, I hope he scores.
Yeah.
I really hope he scores, even though I quite like that Chile side. But they went out in the quarterfinals to France, and we wouldn't see him at another international tournament, much to the ire of many Italy and neutral fans.
And Brazil dedicated their win in 94 to Ayrton Senna, who sadly died 2.5 months earlier, and he was a legend in the country. Mm. And fans, apparently, superstitious fans, said the ghost of Senna made Baggio miss that penalty. That's what they talk about. But you're right, Marcus, about the miss, because Baggio actually said on the TV show relatively recently, I take that penalty with me always. There's nothing I can do about it. I always dreamed of playing in a World Cup final since I was a little boy, but I never thought it would end like that. I still find it hard to accept what happened that day. However, it's helped me to stay humble because life is a continued challenge and you can't beat yourself up.
Yeah, he was given a farewell match in 2004 against Spain by Italy manager Giovanni Trapattoni. He wore the number 10 with the captain's armband at the age of 37. That's how much he meant to the people of Italy. 2004, last game, he's given a send-off game. He wasn't picked for the 2002 squad. He wasn't picked for Euro 2000 either. Yet many years after, he was given that send-off.
There was talk of him, because he did so well at Brescia in the last few years of his career, I remember, obviously it wasn't that long ago, a bit of a campaign.
That's right.
For 2004, to get him in there. Mm-hmm. So it's not too late. I mean, what age would he have been then? Well, we'd be 36 or something like that.
Yeah, from the Marcus Spellers of Italy. Get him on that plane.
Speller's still got the pace now.
He did have a real sort of Indian summer, didn't he? He retired... He went out on top. He was still an excellent player in that last sort of period of his career. So it wasn't sort of that out of the realms of possibility that he couldn't earn a call-up.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. But on the day, in 94 at the Rose Bowl, it was Dunga who US Vice President Al Gore handed the trophy to, who then spouted off at a load of Brazilian journalists.
A fitting end.
Indeed. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to our second of the Football Ramble World Cup specials in association with history. We've got three more of these World Cup specials, having now got two under our belts already. These five World Cup specials are brought to you by History Who, in celebration of the World Cup, are broadcasting 24/7 football documentaries for 2 weeks, starting on Monday, the 28th of May. You can watch History on Sky, Virgin, BT or TalkTalk.
And why not check out Pele, Argentina and the Dictators, which is another one of their documentaries available on History, which goes out at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, the 30th of May as well.
Beautiful.
Magical kicks.
Yeah, that's indeed. Wow. I can't believe we got through the whole thing and didn't do Robbie Badger's magical kicks. Yeah. Truly the most important legacy of the great man.
The greatest Badger. Online flash game. Yeah,
have you got a flash game named after you? Then you're no Badger.
No, exactly.
The Divine Ponytail. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time for another World Cup special.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.